Okay. We're holding over here. I think Vomu Bishor Shikdimu Nasiv Nisham Pekhov Test. That makes sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Va'oma. Shebishor Shikdimu Nasiv Nishma Bo Shishri Malach Hasharis. Birze. Ki bechol Adam Yesh Shnei Nevarim. Kocha Echad Havayis HaNefesh. Or Hayois Nefesh Hu Poil HaMaisa. Vasheni Hu HaSeichel. So, in other words, the part that actually carries it out, I don't think he means physically carrying out as much as the oomph, the drive to carry it out. That's the poel ha-maisa. Vashenu ha-seichel. V'kash ha-seichel hu mutba beguf, ein echad ben chayrin klal. And when the seichel is mutba beguf, the person is not a ben chayrin. At all. Why? Im a nefesh nekimoshav a seichel umanhigri fi daite v'sichla erein ben chayrin v'chein ein a seichel ben chayrin shehu mutba beguf v'ein ze ben chayrin. So in the chain of command we have, and again going back to the Rambam's general, not the Rambam, the Maral's general hagdaris, it works like this. First of all, there's a person's kochos are that there's a seichel that makes a decision, there's the nefesh that carries it out and pushes it out, and then so lumash I decide it's somebody's here and he needs stuck and the right thing to do is to help him, and then I'm order my nefesh to do it, and then I carry it out. So the nefesh itself is never ben chayrin, because it's always being directed by the seichel, so it should be. The seichel itself really depends. If it's independent and it's making decisions as a seichel, then it's independence of ben chayrin. If it is embedded in the guf and it is taking directives from the guf, in other words, the guf is telling it, do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing, then the person's not a ben chayrin either. So he says like this: v'chein ein aseichel ben chayrin shumut ba beguf v'ein ze ben chayrin v'kasha higdimu nase l'nishma harei omru nase miyad b'lian hoges aseichel im yase. So the first thing they said was that the person what we express was an instinctive reaction to do what's right. We'll talk about it in a second. V'chein ein ha-seichel matimut b'choyme shekim sh'nefesh hoi b'shleimus l'her tzoch l'anogis ha-seichel kol shkan ha-seichel sh'yose b'maylo v'lefikoch shneihem hei melochem sh'tzoch z'alazeh. So he says here a profound he says a profound understanding of what this matzav is. Let's go back to it. Imagine a person who is in a normal situation. A person, for instance, doesn't want to give, or things that I have that are mine, and that's my instinctive feeling is to hold on to things. Let's say I've worked on myself to such a madriga where when somebody in front of me is there who is an ani, my instinctive sense is to give. I give. I see somebody hungry, I give. That's become my reflex. So now, I've turned my nefesh into a ben chayrin. My nefesh has a rotzen toiv of its own that sort of superseded, it doesn't need a seichel. So normally, under normal circumstances, when I'm not such a madrega, so I need to go through a process. I need to decide, you know what, I really need to give him stuck, or a poor person needs it. And then I push myself and I go and I do it with a big l'shem yichud and it's done. So that's a normal process of these things. But when a person is toiv and he's worked out, so b'meil, the nefesh does it on its own, the seichel does it, the seichel then has no reason to resist. So if my natural instinct is to give, the seichel itself is not when the body is holding on to it and clinging and not giving, so I'm going through a shakla v'tarya. But when I'm not going through a shakla v'tarya, then my seichel will understand right also. Ulefikach yardu kufchaf ribu shemalachim. The malach shas v'kosher beisam chol echad ve'echad. V'dafke kufchaf ribu. What's the cheshbon? Ki b'mesha hoye minyan Yisrael shishim ribu. This is twice as much. Yef shebe pachos, because you're getting. And they'll explain it's twice the amount. Well, chen tzoch loyma shekolecho Yisrael ma'ilav ne'atzmoi v'shavim alosam. And he says you also need to understand that each and every person has his own maila, and therefore each one has his own kesa. L'chein kof chof riba shemach shor shei malach echroi se shishlichis. L'chein roi kol echot v'echot shnei malachim v'koshe ma kesa se v'roisha. V'dova za sheirim utboim b'choyme rakim ne'choyrin k'moy sheisvay. So let's go through the points he's making here. The keser here is when the person's a ben choyrin. I think more than that, when the person's nefesh on the shama becomes the shilton on the gavra, that is that means there's malchus there. So the neshama, let's call it, is the melech over it. Why two ksarim? Because two parts of me have become liberated. My seichel does no longer has the shibut to the guf, so that the seichel thinks like the guf. If we can give a dugma, a parallel dugma in halacha, the halacha is that a sheikh yavereni pikchim, that when a person is beholden because of shochad, his mind twists to accommodate the person that's giving the sheichat. So that's a lack of cheiros in the seichel. Once I don't have this, the body is not getting its way, the seichel is become free. Two, the nefesh has also become free because the nefesh is instinctively doing the right things. It also is not encumbered by anything and doesn't need a master to command it. The difference, and this is a classic difference that Tanya built his whole Tanya on it, there's a difference when a person is still at a situation where he needs to apply pressure to himself to do what's right, versus a situation where he's just a ben chayrin and he's where he's toiv and he's doing right automatically from the person. That those are the two inyanim in that the Baal Tanya speaks about a lot. So that's an akuda of two of having two ksarim for each person. Now he adds a knach, and this is a very interesting knach that he adds. Why does everyone get his own keser? Because part of every person's mitzias is his own mitzias. It says, just like Parzafeim and Adomius, they're same shonos, just like no two people look alike, no two people understand alike, so every person's das and every person's nefesh have a little bit of a different sense, feel, klapi shmaya. And b'meila, each one is a crown in its own right. I want to add maybe one more knach. I mean, this is basically what he's saying, but I want to add a knach to it. When you have a group of people that are doing things because they are mishubed, then they are all one. And if everybody's in the army, if everybody's meshubet to the army, they've all have the same reason for doing X, Y, or Z. That's almost by definition like that. We're all army, and the army says we ought to do X, or Y, or Z. We're all American citizens, American law dictates doing X, Y, or Z. When we're b'nei chayrin, and each person is deciding on his own, so each person is a separate entity. It's not the same. And therefore, he says, a malach can't do two shlichas. Each person is a different person. It's a different shlichas. So in the etzem hakdara, the etzem defining of something as being a ben chayrin versus an eved, there's a big difference between having, between, do we look at their entire ma'isim as being one, or each person's ma'isim as being his own act? Because chotu, In this keser cannot apply itself to a chet. By definition, a bala veira is because he's mishub to something. There's no way that a person's das and hakara would think differently. So the chet is because even though I know it's right, but I am chained to my physical cravings and mishuchet by it. Shelo yemelach hayimosh hayisrei. So the reason they lost the ksarim was because they don't have a keser when they're doing an aveira. Malchus is only shaykh when a person is mis'ala on it, and therefore it's not shaykh to him. V'not la'moshe. It says Moshe took them. Why? It says v'kulon zocha Moshe v'not la'm. Why? Ki mitchila ha'keser echad v'echad. V'kash shaloi hoi ruyim she'yil la'madrega zois. So, Klal Yisrael as a klal, chet is never ever shaylit, and Klal Yisrael is embodied in Moshe Rabbeinu Shoko Kenei Kulam. But even though Klal Yisrael consists of all the different elements in Klal Yisrael, so it's Moshe Rabbeinu, but he doesn't get tuksarim. He gets all, everybody else's keser because that's his metzias. If I can add something very parallel to this point, it says that anything a Talmud Vasik is us says Chadesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe Rabbeinu. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu sat and he saw Rabbi Akiva learning, and he didn't know what he was saying, and he said Klum Yeshcha Adam like this, and you give it to me. And at the end, he heard him say that this is all halacha Moshe Mesinai, so it's nocha daite. So the pshat in that is that if the Moshe Rabbeinu has two dargas, Moshe Rabbeinu is a prat, he's Moshe, he's one of 600,000. Moshe Rabbeinu is also koilel all the halakim Klal Yisrael. So even though he can't, as a prat, doesn't understand, he has no shaykhus for Akiva's Torah, but as a klal, he has shaykhus. I mean, it's almost a oxymoron. It says he knew in advance the chidushim the Talmud Vos is going to say. Well, then it's not chidushim. You know, if you know in advance, then it's not news. You can't say, I know the news that's going to be it tomorrow. Well, then it's not news tomorrow. Then basically I'm saying there is no. So what does it mean? I know everything Talmud Pasek is also this Chadish. It's almost by definition. I remember I was in a yeshiva once when I was a young boy. I was in a yeshiva. I was just walking through the yeshiva and I heard one chavrusa putting down another chavrusa, and he told him something along the lines of, you're a guy who makes a laning on yesterday's Gemara. Like, you know, you learn in advance yesterday's Gemara. So the answer is that it's something which is it's included in Moshe Rabbeinu bechlolius and not in proteus. Let me give an example of how that would work. Imagine somebody is crafting, a lawyer is crafting a contract. So what you do when you're crafting a contract is try to anticipate every situation and try to sort of deal with it a priori, in advance. So there's two ways to do it. One way is to think of all the different situations that can come up. Either I know through experience or I just use my head and I write in something that will prevent this, and you could, you know, you will not get ownership of this unless this, in case of this. I could do that. That's one way. There's another way to go about it. If I have a very precise way with language and I have a good way of analyzing something, I'm able to define something in a way that will preclude all issues. So for instance, if I can precisely define your type of ownership over here, then I will probably avoid all sticky situations just by how I've defined it. So I may actually not be aware. It's not that I knew that this situation might come up and you might, you know, pull a fast one in this case, that case, other case, but in a way that I defined it, I remember many decades ago when they had some sort of beginning of some sort of peace talks in Israel and Egypt, and Kissinger came down. Kissinger was the one who was mediating that one, and they were discussing how he's so good at making all sorts of peace treaties, which in hindsight they all fell apart miserably, but okay, at that time they still thought he's kind of a very wise man. So they pointed out, I was listening to the news in Israel, you know, he wrote down the points of contention. So people had phrased Jerusalem as being a city holy to two religions, to two peoples, or whatever it is. He phrased it as a city that contains places holy to two groups of religion, and that was a very, very sharp way of restating it, which made things a lot easier. I don't have to declare Jews and this or that. I just have to make sure each one identifies the places, and for most of the time, would work. It was an interesting thought. Balko Panim, in Torah, it's also like that. Moshe Rabbeinu, as a prat, does not know what the Talmud Vasik Zasid Leschadish. He didn't know what Rabbi Kiva was going to say. He sat and he didn't know what he was going to say. But mitzad the klolius ha'inyan, he understood and was able to put it down right. So when a Talmud Vasik comes along and he says a chiddush, then Moshe Rabbeinu, it fits into Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. It's a correct hemshech of his Torah. So Moshe took them. V'notla Moshe. This is a common phrase. All we could say is Moshe shokan al kalkuloi. V'dovah zeh mevuah mo'od mishesh b'chochma, v'nezah yinoyte Moshe kula. V'dai zeh mokah elu b'zedva. So Moshe Rabbeinu taking all the ksarim wasn't, let's define exactly the way it worked. Moshe, it's as if Torah went back a madrega. Torah had been a metzias where all the pratim had flowered. Each and every neshama in Klal Yisrael had expressed their particular kesh and hemshach to Torah. That was when they had all these ksarim of the nasa v'nishma. When they were choite, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu means a sort of rollback. In Moshe Rabbeinu, it's there, but it's no longer expressed in the detail that was just by them. So LaMarshall, let's give an example. So let's see. If I sometimes a person comes up with a shtickle Torah, and he has a shtickle Torah that he came and he said, and then someone comes along and says, you know, according to this, this would be true, and in this case, this would be true. This would be true. All of those are true in Yanim. That when I said Shikta, I didn't know them. But now that you're bringing out the points, they've come out to light. It was a rollback. Torah had expressed itself in detail of each person's neshama, nefesh, however you want to call it, and had expressed it. And then when we lost it, it went back to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it didn't go back to Moshe Rabbeinu as a in all the detail. Moshe didn't hoard all the details of every neshama because he couldn't. He couldn't mitzad his nefesh. So what happened was each and every person it went back to Moshe Rabbeinu bekoach as potential, and then each time a Talmud Vasek would say, he would bring it out that point. It says in Svarim, it's said over from the Goyen, the Grand Talmidim write it, v'sein chalkeinu b'sarasecha, that every single person has a chelik that's unique in Torah. And the reason why we have a chelik that's unique in Torah is because we have a neshama that's unique. So each neshama has its own knech in Torah, its own interpretation, and that's where that's where each person's personal kesa came. We have a lesson like this. It says that in Gan Eden, tzaddikim are sitting, v'atereseya bereisham, v'nene meziv hashchina. In other words, the fulfillment, the realization of self, is called kesa bereisham. That's the fulfillment of self. And Gan Eden Olam Haba is really just that type of fulfillment of self and realization of self. So the ultimate is it comes out, but this is something that's going to take some time. I want to add one or two more connections to this. The Rambam equates this roze of Nasev and Nishma. The Rambam says the same lashon by lishma. The Rambam uses the lashon that you know, if and only if he's ready fit, I am megala this razeh of lishma. So there's sort of an equation of the lishma with nasev and ishma. On the surface of it, it's a little hard to understand what the kesher is. I mean, they're both wonderful in yanim, very very high madregas, and it's very very nice. The way the Maral explains it, it really works very well, because the lishma means what's the purpose I'm doing it for, what's the reason I'm doing it for. So any shaloi lishma is a reason that's routed through the guf to some degree. It's taiva, money, kavod, something that's not coming from it itself. So there's always an element of lishma that's being expressed over here. Shaloi lishma is being expressed, and b'meila I'm always doing it because I'm meshubet to something. When a person does something lishma, that means there is in this nekuda there's no shibud of my nefesh or my seichel to my guf. Lishma is a goal that's in the seichel. The seichel that has this is the right thing to do. The guf says we've got a whole slew of good reasons to do it. So what's the tachlis I'm doing it for defines, is it something that's coming from seichel or is it something that's coming from the guf? If it's lishma, it means it's coming from the seichel, and the person is a ben chayrin, and that's why there's the nasev and nishma dynamic. If the person is doing it for some ulterior motive, that means where's the ulterior motive coming from? The answer is because the guf is involved, and the guf does it for its own reasons, and therefore the guf is doing its own thing, and so on. That's the mahalach of this thing over here. Okay, so that's another good. One more nekuda. The inyan that Moshe Rabbeinu is bigger than other neviim. So The Parsha Pshat is, so in Sitkis, that does not have to be. In Sitkis, every single person can be as a big tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu. There is no a priori glass ceiling, so to speak, where we stop, we can't become higher. That's one. But in terms of Nevuah, nobody can be Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Parsha Pshat is learned as sort of, he's a higher Madriga. You have a Navi of, you know, with 1800, 1700, 1600, whatever you want to call it, lumens, or whatever you want to call it, and that's that. So that's kind of bigger and smaller. That's not a good mashal. The real reason why we can't have a Navi that's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu is, it's like saying that I can have more electric power in my wiring than is coming, that is being produced in the generating company. The maximum power I can have is equal to the maximum power coming in on the main line. So at most it'd be like a main line, but that's it. The Moshe Rabbeinu is not bigger in the sense of, you know, you're measuring, you know, he's 6 foot tall, he's 5 foot tall, he's 4 foot tall. Moshe Rabbeinu is the shoresh where everything is coming. If you shut off electricity at the generating plant, there can be no electricity here. If you shut off the main over there, it's not, nothing will come here. Because that's the definition. Moshe Rabbeinu is that Dain Kol Nevi'im means Nevuah comes to this world, Torah comes to this world through Moshe. So there'll never be a Messias where something is not in Moshe and it is in the detail. There is nothing. There's nothing that can come to my private house that is not in the main source and so on. So this concept of Moshe Rabbeinu being bigger is not bigger, but he is the whole and we are the parts. Each and every person is a prat, and a prat can never be bigger than a klal, and it can't be a klal because by definition it's part of a klal. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions, any points?
Great, thank you.
So I'll be gone for 3 weeks now. In other words, next 2 weeks I'll be in Israel, then I'll be in Tinek, and then so Be'ez Hashem the 4th week from now. That's Parshas Bo. So Vayechi, Shmuel, Sabeira, I'll be out, and Be'ez Hashem, Parshas Bo, will be in touch. Okay, take care. Kol Tov. Bye.